Good evening, and welcome to The Simple Truth, hosted by Jeff Lewis, every Saturday evening, 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and 8 to 9 Eastern on BBS Radio, where if it's not mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com. Tonight, Saturday, April 14th, 2007, we'll have a very special surprise for those in the realm of fantasy and reality. Join us for a journey through the Elf Transmissions with Ken Cousins. The Elf Transmissions delve into the truth, or as one may see it, the reality of our planet and its inhabitants. This show will enlighten to a level of understanding that most have never believed possible. Stay tuned, hold on, and let's take a ride together through a story of creation from a different perspective. The only way out is in. We are also very excited to announce our latest venture, Light Enterprises, presenting Living Waters, Living Music, with the Honorable Dr. Masuro Emoto in Provo, Utah, May 21st through 24th, 2007. This is turning out to be quite a very special event with Dr. Masuro Emoto. The Tabernacle Choir will be joining us to pay tribute to his arrival. This will be Dr. Emoto's first time ever lecturing in Utah. He will be joining us in blessing the waters of Utah, as well as sharing his amazing discoveries in the realm of waterology and the vibrations of sound. We expect that this event will be televised locally and possibly internationally. It will be taped and put on DVD and available shortly after the event for those that cannot attend. Tickets on sale now. Seating may become limited. Contact us at sacredtech@cox.net. To order Dr. Masuro Emoto's books, DVDs, posters, and more, go to www.tobehealthynow.com and go to the Waterology button on the left. Stay tuned, listeners. This will be another highly enlightening show. To learn more on tonight's show about the Elf Transmissions and request a copy in PDF format, contact our host at sacredtech@cox.net. And always, please be sure to have a pen and paper ready to write down any useful information you will hear on The Simple Truth tonight and every Saturday night. To call in, the numbers are toll-free in the U.S., 877-876-5227. Toll-free in Canada, 888-810-8322. And for international callers, it's 530-876-3222. Be sure to check for any updates on our main website at www.tobehealthynow.com. And be sure to listen to our past shows at the BBS Radio Archives. For any questions, feel free to contact our host anytime at sacredtech@cox.net. Now, for those trying to stop truth and light, here's our disclaimer. Do not take the word of our host, announcer, or the word of any of our guests when it comes to your health, your knowledge, or your freedoms and rights. This show and its websites and BBS Radio and its websites cannot nor will not be held liable for the results achieved or not achieved from the use of our products or suggestions. This program is for your educational purposes only and not meant to replace the advice of a conscious, and we do repeat, conscious family doctor or conscious family lawyer. Always search for yourself, educate yourself, and you will discover the truth in anything you want. Stay in the light, seek, and ye shall find. Well, let's get started with tonight's program. Here's the host of tonight's Simple Truth, Jeff Lewis.
Good evening, conscious listeners, and thank you for joining us now, our 15th show here on BBS Radio. Live tonight, sorry about the past couple tape shows we had to do. We were still in the moving process. Now we're pretty much settled here, so I hope you enjoyed last week's taped show, which is my first ever show on BBS Radio Network with Dr. Fred Bell and Health, Energy, and Science show on electronic healing. We talked a lot about the biophoton, had a lot of fun with that one. Well, let's get started with tonight's show and our very special guest and a close personal friend, I might say, by the way, Ken Cousins. Ken, how are you doing tonight?
Very good, Jeff. Nice to talk to you.
You too. Hope that wasn't a little too much energy for you. I'm trying to stay calm and trying to calm down. That's the whole theme of my new reality for myself and my wife and family and everyone. Just slow down. The Elf Transmissions. What is this all about? What are we doing to each other here on planet Earth?
Well, let's start with the first question. ELF is an acronym, ELF. It stands for Emerald Liberation Front. It's kind of a play on words, and as we get into the talk, we will explain that and touch on some of those points. People might ask, does it have anything to do with elves? Well, perhaps, and we'll get to that. But basically, it's about liberating an energy, the emerald energy, and emerald is a metaphor for the green ray. The green ray is the life force. It is the power of who we are as divine beings in our true capacity as creators, and in connection and in alignment with our true divine source. So the subject of what the Elf Transmissions is about is basically the fact that as we look around on this planet, it becomes very obvious to those who wish to look and really see that the life force, the true essence of our capacity to create, has been more and more entrained and contained in a reality that is far afield from our true essence. It is an attempt to literally control and own and direct the creator capacity or the life force of who we are into a very narrow and a very limited definition of reality. So, as a liberation force, it's really about freeing the life force that we are on this planet.
Okay. Interesting. Continue.
Okay. Well, first of all, what I want to say is that this is a compendium or a synthesis of my life's path, my life's work for the last 50 years on this planet. And when I was very young, I basically looked around and looked at life on this planet, and in effect, I said to myself, something is really wrong here. Something is not right. And I set out in my life.
That doesn't sound too off from what most of our teenagers nowadays say and feel.
Well, exactly, and it's probably exactly what probably everybody who's listening to this to us talk has said to themselves. And so my life's intent, as I said it at a very young age, was to figure out what was really going on, what made this planet operate the way I saw it as operating, why was it so upside down and ass backwards, and what was really the essence of our ability to break through and to determine not only what the problem was, but what was the solution. So it was, in effect, a path of cracking the code, breaking through the codes and the veils and the obfuscation of our consciousness to wake up to who we really are and what was really going on. And once we understood that, once we have that understanding and that knowledge, then we have the ability to get back into alignment with our higher selves, our divine essence, and in effect to come more into true reality. So that's what has been synthesized in the book, The Elf Transmissions, is basically a synthesis of that life's path, and then 15 years ago coming together with my wife, Andrea, and our path together in a multidisciplinary process of utilizing or going into, delving into pretty much a full spectrum of all types of sources. The material, the information, the understanding that we're going to talk about is not anything that came from outside of ourselves. It's not channeled. It's not an external authority telling us what it is.
Well, sometimes it did require certain keys to actually unlock certain parts to be able to get to these realms.
Well, exactly. When I say that about an external authority, I'm just saying that in the sense of nothing was dictated in that sense of an authoritative statement of this is the way it is. And but without question that we have explored many, many areas of subjects and so forth, ranging from historical context, the origins of religion, the origins of law, political structures, genetics, the structure of the biological body that we incarnate in, and basically cross-referencing that with our own inner experience. And a lot of this, also in terms of the inner experience, has to do with our own waking up process and accessing direct cognizance internally that is cellular memory, genetic activation, and things of that nature to reactivate and come back into balance and in alignment with who we really are.
No, continue, please. I'm following you completely.
Okay, very good.
My listeners are, but I know I am. Please continue.
Okay. Well, keep in mind, we have a very short period of time here in this 1 hour to try and to bring a vast array of what I've just sort of outlined.
Yes, no, I understand you completely. That's why I think we and I agree with what you said prior to just starting the show, that we will launch and give away for free part one of this, which is by far incredible, very in-depth, very profound, very backed up by a lot of science as well, I should say, and evidence that people can verify and prove for themselves. But with this, now people can open their minds to the possibilities. Part two and three will, as you suggested, and I agree, do a donational purposes, and that's fine. So we are giving this away. You can request it, as we said, at sacredcox.net, sacredtech at cox.net, excuse me, and we will send you the PDF format of this amazing book, 111 pages, is that correct?
Yeah, and... since you're announcing that, let's clarify one thing, as you and I discussed a little earlier, that I need to do a little bit of editing, so it probably won't be available for probably 5 to 7 days. But if people check in with Jeff and the website, we'll have it posted and linked up as soon as we can. And basically, this is intended to be probably what will end up being a 4 or 5 part book. Part one is 111 pages, and we'll probably end up with 400 or 500 pages. The book touches on quite an array of subject matter. All those things I just mentioned, the origins of religion, law, consciousness, and all of the rest. So what I was going to say is that keep in mind that I'm going to give a brief summary of this topic that's quite fast. And if in this 1 hour it may be a little overwhelming, I may not really cover everything in a comprehensive way just because of time constraints. But if it stimulates insight, interest, and a bit of understanding, then I would definitely say the next step would be access the part one that we're going to make available and read it.
And of course, we'll definitely be happy to have you on again as well.
Yeah, I think it might take us 2 or 3, maybe more sessions to at least verbally start really filling in the pieces. But that being said, let me start and see how well I can do to paint the broad brushstroke of the picture. Essentially, let's start with a concept of creation, that as creation, from my perspective, is an ongoing, it is eternal, and it is a continuous event. It is, from my perspective, not something such as the concept of a Big Bang, that suddenly, from out of nowhere, a little minute whatever particle exploded into all of the creation that we see. It's a continuing opening, unfolding of divine source creating of itself and exploring its own nature and expanding and continually moving forward in a continuous flow of creation. So within that context, there are always realms of undifferentiation that have not been made manifest in that process of creation. It is what some people, and myself included, would refer to as the void. And the void is the feminine principle. It is not a negative principle, but it is a unmanifest or an undifferentiated component of divine source.
Yes, folks, please listen closely to this part, because this a lot of this is going to pertain to the movie The Goddess. I may have my gentleman friend here write the movie for me, the script. He's right on topic with this one. So listen closely.
Mm-hmm. So the masculine principle is the motive force. It is the mobilizing force that delineates form and manifests itself into creation. It is a unified field. The one cannot exist without the other, and it does not exist without the other. And in a context that we would understand more on a practical level, we could call the feminine principle or the void the magnetic and the masculine principle as the electric. So we have a unified principle in the electromagnetic field. The feminine holds the field. The masculine creates within the field. So as divine principle or prime source moves into an undifferentiated realm of creation, it establishes a couple of fundamental principles of what will be made manifest in that realm of creation. In the context of our local universe or our local realm of creation, there were two primary principles that were going to be explored by Prime Source or Prime Creator. They were unconditional love and free will. And of course, that created a certain dynamic that we have been playing with and exploring ever since. Because, of course, in a creational field of free will, as consciousness then becomes manifest and individuated, meaning that individual units of consciousness become self-aware and self-creating of themselves, if that takes place in the realm of free will, then it can choose to do anything it wishes to do, including separating from itself or polarizing within itself to explore the nature of what that would be like. That potentially sets up a dynamic with the other principle of unconditional love, which is that if a being out of free will chooses to explore polarity or separation, it is most likely going to delve into the realm of overlaying or becoming contrary to another being's free will, in other words, its sovereignty, and potentially conditionalizing that which previously was unconditional in the realm of unconditional love. So,
all in one sentence.
That's a pretty broad context. But it is fundamental to where we're going to go with this, and we can visit that later. But let's leave that as such.
Okay.
And so explore the nature of that descent, if you will, or dropping down into layers of separation or splitting off from that original unified field. As we said, the first point of separation would then become a separation between those two balancing points of the feminine principle and the masculine principle. Secondly, there would also, or has at least, and let me digress a minute and say this, that this understanding is, in effect, coming from the end point, looking at the end result, which is what we are living in, and going back to the beginning. Because what we're going to really get into here is the end result of this nature of what the illusions of separation have manifested as, and what we're dealing with, and what the pathway back to wholeness is by understanding the nature of the path to the separation. Excuse me. So a secondary component of that splitting of that original unified field took place in the masculine principle. In other words, the male component or the masculine component split itself. It separate, separated or it's schismed, and it created a polarity in and of itself. Excuse me, Jeff, I got to drink get some water here.
Certainly. I usually remind my guests to do that every show. Make sure you have water ready.
Mm-hmm.
I just did that on my show right now, just in time.
Yeah. So, so a big part of what we're going to look at and explore or define is what has taken place in this last unit of time that we have been in the last 26,000 years, how this process of splitting the consciousness and creating a field of separation and the polarity and the illusions of separation that have basically, we could say, followed us for a long time through our journey through time and space. And when we started delving into this and looking at the nature of certain fundamentals, such as in the area of law and religion, and some of the key issues that we deal with today in the control components of how the false reality that we are in is utilized to control us, we went back into history, and a good starting point to look at that is basically in the Egyptian period. We're going to start looking at that with a brief summary of some of the mythology that has come down from the Egyptian period. One of the key principles in that is that in the Egyptian pantheon, or the realm of the gods, there was what was known as the Ennead, which stands for nine, or the Council of Nine. At the top of the Council of Nine was a being who was known as Anu, and he was the patriarch, the head of the council. And underneath him, there were four sets of brother-sister twins. In other words, a brother and sister who were twins, who were married as a couple, and who were part of this council. The top set of two sets of brother-sister twins were known as Isis and Osiris, and Set and Nephthys, or Nut, N-U-T. They were like the brother-sister set of light and the brother-sister set of darkness, creating that polarity. If you take the initials of those four names, starting with Set, then Isis, then Osiris, and then Nut or Nephthys, you have the letters S-I-O-N, which spells Sion. And we have inherited this Isis-Osiris mystery cult in things that take place today around the word Zion. And this is the origin of it. And we'll come back to Zion a little later on. But in the mythology or the story of these four, Set was jealous of his brother Osiris. This is a manifestation or an archetypal representation of the schism or the split between the male principle, brother against brother, light against dark, fighting each other, vying for power and all of that. So Set, in his jealousy, envy, rage, and all of that, killed his brother Osiris and dismembered him, cut him up into 15 pieces of his body. If we look at the human body, we have actually 14 joints or 14 articulations. There are three in each leg, the ankle, the knee, and the hip. And there are three in each arm, which is the wrist, elbow, and shoulder. Then the 13th would be the waist, which can articulate and bend. And the fourth would be the neck, which can also do the same thing. In a male body, the 15th part is the male phallus, the member, the male member. And so Set broke or cut Osiris up into 15 parts and hid him or buried him throughout the kingdom. Isis came back from wherever she was, found out that this had happened, and went and attempted to find all of Osiris. She found 14 of the 15 parts, put him back together, and but of course she couldn't find the 15th part, which was, of course, the male phallus, the male member. And so she created an artificial phallus and used that with Osiris to impregnate herself. When she gave birth to the son Horus, who became the idealized child or male child, which eventually later became the idealized virgin birth, immaculate conception, and the Christ being that was being birthed. It was basically a symbology of the masculine and the feminine and the union of the two. But Horus, as the idealized son, was split. And the only way back to wholeness was what was known as the left eye of Horus, the path of the left eye, and the right eye, the path of the right eye. And this sets up the template and the energetic and the symbology that has created the underlying structure in religion that has controlled the energetics of who we are as unified beings, to try and use that to maintain the separation that is the only mechanism that can be used to control our reality, and we'll get into that in a moment. Does that make sense, Jeff?
Oh, I'm just reviewing all the books I've read that have talked about all the same stuff, especially Zachariah Sitchin's work. Continue. You're right on.
Okay, good. So, but the key is that most, or if not all, of these books do not talk about is the split and the polarization of the male principle. And there's another component, which is basically the castration of the male. The reason it must be castrated is because when we incarnate into this body, regardless of whether it's a female body or a male body, that we ground in through the seven chakras and we ground to the root chakra. And when we can do that and we can integrate those seven chakras, and those are only the planetary chakras, we have higher chakras.
Those are also those are the seven seals, is that correct?
Right, and we'll get into that.
I hope you have time for all this. We're halfway through the show at this point almost. Keep going,
okay,
I'm not going to interrupt anymore.
Okay, well, no, that's fine. But when we incarnate and we use as divine creator or co-creator beings, going back to that very first principle that we talked about, we use the masculine principle to create form and to manifest into the feminine magnetic field. Well, if that masculine principle cannot come down and ground wholly and completely into the root chakra, then it short circuits on itself. And what happens is it creates like a energetic and electrical, literally a capacitance buildup of the electrical charge in the body. And if it can't get to the root chakra, then it starts externalizing through the second chakra. And then it starts projecting its creative capacity externally out into the hologram. And if it also is done through a filter that appears to be that split in the masculine principle, then it is always going to see something outside of itself that it will polarize, and it will create a construct in the consciousness of an external enemy. And of course, we see throughout history, last 10,000 years, that use of that key principle over and over again to control the consciousness, control the population, and effectively use the Machiavellian principle of divide and conquer. This is the energetic underlying principle that enables that to be foisted into the hologram that we're existing in as a control mechanism. And as we go along, we'll look at that in religion, in law, in money, and all of the rest of that. So the Isis-Osiris story is basically an energetic and symbolic grounding of that to then create a basis that progressively will go through history to bind the consciousness into that structure of separation. And as we follow that from the Egyptian period into, as you mentioned, Zachariah Sitchin, into the Sumerian and Babylonian pre-biblical period, in a lot of the cults and the mystery schools, the concept of the twin pillars is almost universal. You can trace it back into the Egyptian period. You can follow it to Sumerian and Babylonian period, and it comes all the way up into the biblical period. And the key to this is that the control mechanism that's going to be made manifest to control the consciousness is built on that separation or that split of the masculine principle and the ability to short-circuit it and to cause it to externalize and project into the hologram and then dance with that projection, with the enemy construct. What that does is progressively it creates a level of, and combined with the castration of the male principle, it creates a level of impotence and it creates a level of rage. That rage and impotence in the male side of things can then be utilized to dominate and hence control and try and suppress the feminine principle. And of course, we see that through the history of the last 10,000 years.
And still today.
And still today. So the origins of religion really are the natural, the observance of and the tabulating or the codifying of natural order. We find ourselves on a planet that has a relationship to a system with a central sun or a solar body that we revolve around. It, in turn, orbits around another central sun, and in a law of correspondences and fractal geometry and an ascending scale of order, the microcosm in relationship to the macrocosm, we, in a natural state, are in perfect order and perfect balance. So beings on this planet track that for eons of time on this planet. And the scientist priests who codified that progressively at a certain point began to utilize that as a method of mystifying or veiling the consciousness. And this is what the base or the origins of what we have today as religions, where it started from. And you can see that in a lot of that started in the Egyptian period and prior to that in the British Isles, and a lot of what we go into in the elf transmissions goes into that in extensive detail. But in brief, it was a method of creating the symbology of what we just talked about, the masculine principle or the father, the feminine principle, the mother, and the unified principle as the child. And in that period of time, in the Egyptian, Sumerian, Babylonian period, there were various cults centered around the sun, the moon, the stars, and so forth. And at a certain point, they came together. It's what I call the first modern corporate merger. There was a cult of the moon, which is the cult of Isis. There was a cult of the sun, which was the cult of El Elyon, and there was a cult of the star. Or no, I got that wrong. The cult of the sun was Amun-Ra, and then the cult of the stars was El Elyon. They came together to.
You got it.
Okay, thanks. And they formed a merger of the sun and the moon and the stellar cults. And they took the IS of the name Isis. They took the RA of the name Amun-Ra, who was the sun god in the Egyptian pantheon. And El Elyon, who was derived from one of the two brothers that was identified in Sumerian texts as Enlil and Enki. Enlil became El, and the Anunnaki. Enlil became El Elyon, and then progressively became El Shaddai, and then became Yahweh. So So we have the IS from Isis, the Ra from Amun-Ra, and the El from El Elyon. They put it together, and they came up with the story of Israel. And then in the story of creation of that we find in the Bible, or the institution of the state of Israel, you have this primary story of Abraham, who Yahweh says, basically, you have to show your obedience and your binding to my authority by killing your first son. Abraham came from the land of Ur, or the town, the city of Ur, and we'll get back to that in a moment. But just to mention that briefly, today in English we have words like urine, urology, and so forth. Ur is the root suffix of that tone. The word Ur is the vibrational tone of the root chakra. So no wonder that Abraham came from Ur, because what is going to be reenacted in that story is the symbolic castrating and the schisming or the splitting of the male principle, because he had to kill his son. And in my mind, this is the first modern story of mind control through a post-traumatic schisming of the consciousness, because what more horrid of a command from a being that you think is your God than to be told that you have to kill your firstborn son. I mean, any father who understands the love of his son, that's horrific. And so he's being given a choice: obey me and kill your son, or lose your relationship to me. And the key to understand here, and going back to a beginning point in the elf transmissions and the discussion there, is a fundamental in a free will universe is that when two or more beings come together in consciousness to co-create, they do so out of their own free will by entering into a contract, because they come into an agreement. They bind, in effect, consciously and with full awareness themselves to a mutually beneficial and co-creative agreement, which is basically establishing a principle in law, which is that all law is private and is basically contractual. So what we have, once that fundamental of the merger of Israel came about, then El Elyon, or later known as Yahweh, had to establish his authority to bind himself, or have the male part of the consciousness bind itself to its eventuality of encoding itself in the law. And the first act of this was the story of Abraham. And his name was known, and it's said in the Bible, as Abram, or A-B-R-A-M, before it was restated as Abraham. And Abram is translated from the Egyptian as lover of Ra. So again, he's making a obedient statement by his name to the sun god. And once he demonstrates his obedience, he then is given a covenant, or a binding contract, to his seed or his genetic code, which is binding the root chakra, which is now co-opted by contract, by private law, by this cult of the sun and the moon and the stellar gods. And Yahweh is now going to play out the father. And, of course, then later on we get the father and the son and the spirit, which is really just a male overlay of the feminine, and you know, obviously we know the modern story, but it's a very literal and symbolic play out of that castration and the splitting of the male, because after the covenant is created, then the law is laid down, and inclusive of that law, for example, is that every male child on the ninth day from the birth has to be ritualistically castrated or through the circumcision. So by doing that, the lineage is binding itself by agreement and by contract. And remember, because we're in a free will universe, the only way Our creator capacity can be co-opted and taken into this false reality is by our acquiescing, by contract and by agreement. And that's a fundamental that is critical to understand in every pursuit of the truth, as Jeff and Don are bringing forth here in the simple truth, understanding the nature of our relationship to our bodies, our health, law, and all of that. And we'll get into in more detail how this all ties in. But this is the root of it, where what we have is what we call modern religion. And the word religion comes from the Latin. The word ligare means to bind. L-I-G is derived from ligare. Re means again. So religion, religion, means to bind again. We're binding ourselves to contracts and acquiescing to the authority and the law contained in that contract. So this is all contained in the Old Testament. The root of the word testament is testes, the same again, the castration of the male principle. So we're bonding ourselves to that root chakra that has been castrated and split and schismed so that they can control the through the law our true capacity to create. Because even though we call it a false hologram that we're existing in, the people call it the matrix and all of that, the fact is we have created it. We are biocrystalline virtual reality projecting units. So our spirit comes through, down through the seven chakras, grounds, and it's supposed to ground into the root chakra and project into the hologram the reality we wish to create. It's been co-opted to believe that the false hologram is real. And that false hologram is based on the lies of lack and limitation and fear and survival. This goes all the way back to this event of mind control and further back and so forth. And then leading into, as it comes through the stories of the Old Testament, and then we get into the New Testament story is basically an Isis-Osiris mystery cult. If you look at the story, it's just a recreation of Osiris being dismembered, the castration and the splitting off of the male member. And it's an interesting thing when you look at language, like the word or dismember. Well, when we reintegrate ourselves, we reground into and all the way down through the masculine principle and unify and heal that schism and ground into the root chakra, what are we doing? We are remembering. So by remembering, we are waking up. We are remembering the pathway that we came down through into this false reality. And by doing that, we're shifting back into our capacity to recreate and reestablish a true reality, reestablished on those divine principles from which we started.
Wow.
So just as a couple of examples, looking at the New Testament, Jeff, earlier you mentioned the seven veils. In the New Testament story, John the Baptist, who is the precursor or the herald of the Christ and the Christos, is captured. He's taken to the under the control of Herod, and something takes place in Herod's mansion or castle, whatever. There's a party, and his wife's daughter, Salome, dances the dance of the seven veils. She does it so extraordinarily from Herod's perception that he offers to her anything that she would like. And she says, I want the head of John. So let's look at that. She dances the dance of the seven veils. She has locked, symbolically what they're saying is it's locking in the consciousness to be trapped by veiling the seven chakras or the seven seals. When that is so successfully done, then she says she wants the head of John. Well, the head that is actually energetically and symbolically provided is not the one on his shoulders, it's the one between his legs. It's a recreation of the castrating or the dismembering of the male principle. And so once that happens, then it becomes a progression from there of a similitude, the false Christos, as opposed to the true inner Christos. And the word Christos comes from the Greek, which basically means to be set apart or the anointed ones. And that goes back to the Egyptian, where in certain ceremonies they used the fat of the crocodile, which was called the Mesa, and they anointed themselves. These were the ones who achieved a level of consciousness to break away out of the false hologram. So the word Mesa eventually became Messiah, and the word Christos became Christ. And really what it's saying is basically that once we step out of the false hologram, we become our own self-containment in our own Christos, and we re-embody and heal the male, heal the masculine, and also integrate with the feminine. But to control that and to lay down the law, this symbolic story that I just related about Salome and the head of John and so forth was inculcated into the New Testament, which was a restatement of the binding of the consciousness through the castration, the testes, and all of that. Now, if we go back again a little bit further in history, back to the Sumerian and Babylonian period, and I mentioned the two pillars, it's very important to see this, that there were two basic lineages known as the line of the priest and the line of the king. The priest controlled the law. And remember, we discussed how the law used to be natural law, the pathways of the stars and the moon and the sun and all of that. But it became the venue and the control of the priests and the temples to now have the authority to control the law. At the same time, we have the pathway of the king. And during that period, the Anunnaki and all the gods basically mix their genetics and divine, or not divine, what they call divine, it wasn't divine, but the blood lines with the demiurges, which were part from the mortal stock and part from the Anunnaki stock. And they established the descent of kingship, and established that the king was the sovereign or the sole reign or the sole power, the sole authority, and he controlled the land. All land belonged to him. The priest controlled the law. And so you will find that as we go through the Old Testament, the New Testament, into the establishment of the church, and on through Roman law and on into present time, which of course we're not going to have time to go into today. But the
We got about 4 minutes left or so, 4 or 5 minutes.
Yeah, so I'll wrap it up in a couple minutes. But I'll leave everyone with this key, that we're going to look at the symbology of the twin towers or the twin pillars, and hark to what we have going on these days with the twin towers being destroyed and things like that. But the line of the law and the line of the king has been utilized, and we can follow through history from that period into the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the overlay of the mystery cult and the Scion of those four names that we talked about. And this leads all the way up into modern times with the structure that I'm sure Jeff has been talking about on previous shows, about the nature of the underlying true principles of law and then the manipulation and the overlay and the distortions of what we have now as the legalistic system. It all
Ken, I've only been able to do a couple shows on that topic, and I'd like to delve a little bit more in depth on maybe another show with you just on that topic.
Absolutely,
presence, that would be great.
Yeah. And the key to understand the fundamental is going back to what the Emerald Liberation Front is, liberating the energy of the emerald ray, the green life force that is what we are, the balance between those three components of the masculine, the feminine, and the unified field that we would call the child, which is the true Christos, the true unified field, the true capstone that unifies our energy. And So understanding money, law, the physical body we're in, genetics, chemistry, all of that. Once you get these codes and you start seeing it, it is literally like Neo waking up in the Matrix and having the power to create and recreate of ourselves and not be bound by false agreements and fraudulent contracts to this false reality.
Well, okay. Well, we've got a couple minutes. Do you got your closeout kind of formulated here, or did you want to address any topics you might have missed that we might not get covered for a couple of shows yet? But the ELF transmission is available in PDF again. I'll announce that for anybody that's tuned in recently. Just email us at sacredtech@cox.net. We'll get you a free copy of that. It's quite amazing, 111 pages.
Well, I think that's kind of a closing point. You know, if I try to say something else, then I'd have to launch into. I kind of did a broad brushstroke of about, you know, several thousand years of history from, you know, about 3,000 B.C. on to the biblical period and so forth. But
I would like to add that there is a purpose behind all this. The reason we're trying to explain all this to people is to get the correct true history and understand our correct lineage and our correct purpose to get back on path and do our correct, you know, thing that we're supposed to do while we're here. It's kind of an awakening is what you're basically addressing, is that's what the Simple Truth and BBS and all the hosts on BBS are all about.
Exactly. And, you know, the key to understand is that the false hologram, what you could call the Matrix, and the containment structure of money and the law system and all of that is exactly that. It's a containment field. So it is where our ability to be creators projecting into a false reality based on false principles of lack and limitation and so forth, creating the competitiveness and the external structure of the enemy outside of ourselves. All of that energy is there for us to draw through a transfer back to holding into a receptacle of real form where we recreate a truly balanced reality. So it may appear like all this negative stuff is going on, but it's really the consciousness purging and pushing all of that distortion, miasms, and dysfunctionality out into the hologram to be healed and to be basically drawn upon to basically get back into alignment with who we really are.
Wow. Ken, thank you. Thank you so much for your time tonight. Like I said, not maybe, but I think we will have to have you on back again sometime soon.
Okay, yeah. I mean, it's going to take 3-4 sessions to really detail and put this all together because it's, you know, it covers a lot of subjects. But we'll start with this, and anybody who likes what they've heard, access the PDF, and then we'll go from there.
Which should be available in, like you said, 6-7 days or so.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, thanks again, Ken, for your time. I really, really appreciate it. Appreciate you. Last time I heard this story, we were sitting under the stars in person when I went drove through your area there looking at the stars in the hot springs there. That was incredible. But I'll have to end tonight's show because I'm going to see if I can get Don caught up on his time schedule. So that will be the end of tonight's show. Many thanks go out to our producer, Donald Newsom, for BBS Radio and what he and all those involved have done with BBS Radio Network. BBS Radio is the first to bring you truth, knowledge, consciousness, and so much more directly through the Internet. Now we can finally get the truth out there to those who are so desperately seeking it. Thanks for tuning in tonight, conscious listeners, and be sure to tune in next week for another highly enlightening show with The Simple Truth. Bye for now, until next Saturday, same time, same place, and may your lives be filled with a great joy and wonder always. Love and light to all.